Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Total Dudes with Sign Guy and Rex. Welcome to Total Dudes with Sign Guy and Rex. Welcome to Total Dudes with Sign Guy and Rex. It's time.
Oh, it's still going.
It's a continuous
delay of Dane Paisley, yes.
Greetings and welcome to Total Dudes with Sign Guy and Rex, the only show where two total dudes review one total diva show and delight the entire world. I am one half of those aforementioned dudes. I am the top hunk of pop punk, the brains behind America's favorite wrestling themed Ramones core pop punk band, the Razor Ramones. I am Rex Razor Sharp. And joining me, as always, on this arduous journey of a nightmare, is the host of Turnbuckle Turmoil, the host of the Sign of the Times, the host of Sign Guys Wrestling Show. He is the Peyton Manning to my Ryan Leaf, so don't ever pick me. And welcome to the show, the genius don't only as Sign Guy. Sign Guy, I guess you should have actually been my Ryan Leaf, correct? Isn't that your boy up there?
I guess so. Didn't he help create Leaf Trading Cards, which was a subsidiary in Canada of Don Russ?
No.
Really?
No, he
That's
did not.
Bad.
Nope. He surely did not. Sign Guy, how you doing, brother?
Not too bad this week. It was a huge coup. We managed to get QT Vokes on the show this week.
Whoa. Is he there?
That's very good. Yes.
So what's up, QT?
Oh, but pretty much I'm trying to stay lurking in the shadows, and I've had a hankering for Brie cheese lately. Yes.
Because of Brie Bella, or just because you got a cheese tooth?
Oh, kind of because I saw the episode last night, and I think I simulated Brie-ness in myself. Plus, I'm also lurking in the shadows. Yes.
No cheese tooth on you, huh?
No.
Fine Guy, do you have a cheese tooth?
Not particularly, no.
I guess I'm the only cheese tooth in the bunch, then. I'm a cheese hound.
Do you have tights that say Cheese Hound on the back of them? Because that would be great.
No, I do not.
So if Paisley could create a mem with Rex Sharp from behind with tights that say Cheese Hound, I would greatly appreciate it.
The old Cheese Hound. He's lurking. He's lurking. He's out on the prowl just looking for a nice Gouda. What's that you say? Burger?
Yes, I like to sometimes, out of randomness, make yummy sounds, like Herman Munster. Yes.
That's
the only joy I have life in now that the government is taking away a lot of my paycheck. Yummy sounds remains.
Yes. Did you just start paying taxes? Is that what's happening?
That's true, yes. I've been lurking in the shadows and evading, yes.
I see. So, Erwin R. Scheister, if you're listening, his name is QT.
Yes. See, I've been trying to avoid paying taxes because I'm not all that upset about the prospect of going to prison. I'm very comfortable in prison settings. Yes.
Also confirmed.
Why do you think you would do fine in prison?
Well, I've watched films of prison, like even Roger Daltrey was in a film called McVicker. And I first saw that movie when I was a teenager, and I thought I could hold my own like Roger Daltrey in a prison setting. So McVicker set the tone. And then I've had purchased several biker prison gangs and the Wendy O. Williams classic Chained Heat. So that prepared
yes.
me for any prison setting. Yes.
That's good. That's good. Because you're ready. You've watched a couple of naked lady prison movies.
Yes, well, they weren't totally naked. And it's my fervent hope to reenact some of these things with Sean Crittney, like in Chained Heat. Yes.
I will pass that along to him. Sign guy, what's the scuttlebutt around the water cooler this week?
Well, my fervent hope is that Zane Paisley's hard at work on a second mem portraying Sean Crittney and QT in one of these scenes. But, you know, besides that, we had some deadly storms in this area last week. Deadly storms.
Tell me more about these deadly storms.
Well, we had some deadly wind storms. They were ripping trees right out of the sidewalk and laying them down several feet away. Power was out to over 500,000 people. Two people bit it when trees landed on them.
Really?
Yes. It was his most opportune time to gather his weather club and dissect this phenomenon.
Tell us about it, QT.
Well, the weather club is going fairly strong. Devin Bellinger has recommitted to his role of Secretary Treasurer, and I've been studying tropical waves coming off the coast of West Africa. Very exhilarating stuff.
Sounds like it.
For the first time in history, a minimal-sized hurricane hit the Cape Verde Islands. I was pretty enthralled, yes.
Was it a derecho? Was there a derecho happening?
A derecho?
Yeah, was there a derecho?
I am not quite familiar with that term, yes.
Well, you're clearly a poser weatherman, then.
Ooh, I kind of like that, poser weatherman, yes.
A derecho. It's a widespread, long-lived, straight-lined windstorm. Typically more associated with land-based severe thunderstorms, and they can cause hurricane-force winds, tornadoes, heavy rains, and flash floods. A derecho.
Oh, well, okay. That's sort of like a dust devil. Yes.
Perhaps. Although I think that's a vacuum cleaner, but perhaps.
Wow, all right. Because of that information you just passed along, I am giving you a $1 discount to your monthly membership in the Weather Club.
What a deal. What a
that
deal. How much do you have to pay now for it, sign guy? A dollar more than me. Boom.
I'm not in the club because, you know, they didn't like my written exam.
Yeah, I think when Sign Guy was taking that exam, he had ODB on his mind. Yes.
He's one dirty Briscoe.
Wow, that joke bombed. Where's the rim shot? Ba-dum-bum. Yes.
What's going on?
That was one of Marvin Gaye's best hits ever.
It was. I like to listen to it.
Could you hum a little bit for that? I feel like QT's not going to hum any of what's going on.
Oh, I was thinking about the term hummer. Yes.
I prefer the remake. You guys remember the remake with the MTV All-Stars with, like, the guy from Stained? With, like, the guy from Limp Bizkit who's like, everybody want to live. Don't nobody really want to die. Remember that one?
Yeah. Back when there was music on MTV.
Oh, here's the Fred Durst part. Somebody tell me what's going on. Say it. What's going on? Someone.
What's going on?
We got human beings using humans for a bomb, but everybody want to live. Don't nobody really want to die. You feeling me, right? Say right.
Right.
Right. Right.
I can't be watching people die. Say die.
Die.
Die! And watching people cry. Let me break it down for a minute. If there's enough room here for you and for me, there's plenty of room for some humanity. Speaking of tea, sign guy.
I have an update.
Let's hear it.
I just sampled some of Uncle Lee's mint chai tea.
Mm-hmm.
It was delightful. If you're a fan of mint, you will enjoy this tea immensely, I think. Heavy on the mint. Many different varieties of mint brought together in this one delightful tea that Uncle Lee lovingly packages and presents to us, the tea lovers around the world.
QT, how do you feel about this tea? Have you tried it?
No, I haven't, but it sounds like it's chock full of riboflavins and rose hips. Cancer-fighting elements, yes. I think Kramer was into this kind of tea, yes. If it's good enough for Kramer, it's good enough for Sign Guy.
The quarterback for the Chicago Bears?
Yes. Yes.
I can give you the ingredient list. I just happen to have it. Now, contained in this one tea, organic peppermint, organic cinnamon, organic ginger root, organic cardamom, organic chicory, organic cloves, organic black pepper, and organic stevia leaves.
Huh. I want to say that sounds like it could be good for Eric Kramer, whom just suffered a non-life-threatening gunshot wound 2 weeks ago.
Was it a small caliber bullet?
I'll look here, but he apparently tried to commit suicide and was not successful.
Eddie Graham tried that. He shot himself in the face with a .45.
Yeah.
It didn't kill him, so he reloaded and shot himself a second time.
Hmm. That's
you got to admire the tenacity. Yes.
Very dedicated to suicide. Are you as equally devoted to your fantasy football team, QT?
Oh, no, no fantasy football team for me this year. There was a lot of infighting, yes, and there was a sex scandal on my last one.
Wait, was that with Diet 4?
Now, I cannot confirm or deny those rumors. But Diafula brings the passion that he displays into the ring, also to fantasy football. Yes, he's very competitive.
Huh, all right.
Yeah, football starts tomorrow. That's why I'm talking about football a lot. Who you guys got winning the Super Bowl this year?
I don't keep up with bowling much, but I think the Sounders are not going to win the championship this year.
No, I don't think the Sounders stand a chance of winning the Super Bowl.
I think maybe Dallas.
What about Pete Weaver? Or Dick Weaver?
Oh, Dick Weaver? He's getting up there. I don't know if he stands a chance.
Now, who was your favorite bowler? Was it Pete Weaver or was it Dick Weaver?
Alex
Weaver do you prefer?
I was an Alex Payne man.
Which Weaver do you prefer, Pete or Dick?
Well, I'd have to go with Pete if I had to choose a Weaver.
How about you, QT? Which one would you prefer?
I think I'll go with a Pete Weaver. That kind of sounds like Pete Seeger, the folk singer.
You guys, you remember Pete? He wore those dumbass sunglasses.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
whereas
he was big up here in the Kennewick, Washington area.
Yes, I'm certain he was because I think he might be from that area. I'm not sure. I know Dick Weaver was born right here in Indianapolis, Indiana, though, so I'm on board with Dick.
Well, you know, they both, I believe, were big in Kennewick because that was a big professional bowling town. If you watch the old professional bowling shows on ESPN Classics, lots of times you'll see they were from Kennewick.
That's interesting. I was not aware of that.
Did you know that the Professional Bowlers Hall of Fame is in St. Louis?
I was aware. The Weavers both reside there. Well, I think Dick is dead, but I know Pete resides in that general area.
This has been total bowling with Sun Guy and Rex.
Total balls. Total balls. Hey, guys, you want to talk about Total Divas?
Yes, please.
Well, do you want me to hit some music?
Let me think. Hit some music.
It's time. It's dialogue time. It's that segment of the show where we take a scene from the episode of Total Divas we watched. We transcribe said scene and we recreate it for you, the listener, at no additional cost.
Tonight's scene will feature QT as Mark Carano. Shine Guy will be Nikki Bella. And I will be humanity's greatest failure, Brie Bella. And scene.
Yes. I mean, should we tell the viewers quickly where they're meeting? Because we got to paint a small scene first. Yes.
I don't remember. They're meeting in a room.
Oh, okay.
And seen.
Oh, okay. Here we go. Mark Lino. Uh-oh. How's it going?
Good.
What's up?
It's just so tough because I feel like we just came back from the tour, and it just feels like the past year and a half I'm never home. It's almost like crazy when finally you get to the point where you're the Divas champion and like, oh my gosh, we've got all these appearances on the off days, and I just feel like I'm breaking it. Today it was hard just walking in here. I feel like it affects my relationship.
This is the job you signed up for. If it's something you can't handle or want to adjust to a lesser schedule, that's an option. But the problem is that this window of opportunity is small.
I just don't know if physically I can do it.
Are you willing to say, hey, I'll give you the championship?
No!
Well, I'm not asking Bree. I'm not asking you, Bree. I'm asking...
Well, I'm part of the team, remember?
I know, but look at those doe eyes. They're about to burst full of tears. Nicole, what do you suggest?
I don't know.
Give me a suggestion to help you.
Well, I definitely don't want to give up my Divas Championship.
Oh, okay.
Because I worked 8 hard years to get it.
Yeah, you worked your tail off.
Yeah, maybe if we can just get 2 days off, maybe that will help me free my mind.
2 to 3 days layoff, any day of the week, we'll give it to you besides Monday.
Perfect.
You just don't snap on us, okay?
I'll take the championship if you want me to.
I'd love to hear it. Where's the title going?
No.
Thank you, Mark. You're always so good to listen to.
Yeah, you're like a dad.
No, I'm like a brother. I'm not that old.
And scene. Sign guy, what was this?
This was a scene where the Bella Twins went to find Mark Carano because Nikki Bella had hit a point where she was saying she was physically and mentally and emotionally exhausted and at her breaking point. So they went to Carano to see if he could come up with something to take some of the pressure off. And he was trying to help them out. Brie Bella was using it as leverage to maybe get that Divas Championship onto her, while Nikki was having none of it. She wanted the title, but didn't want to have the schedule that went along with the title.
Well, let's jump into this episode. I'm going to start us off because this is, I think, a first in the history of this show. So I'm glad to have you with us, QT. This is legendary. Are you ready for this?
Oh, yes.
Brie Bella made my bottom list twice.
Never been done.
A historic night. That's how much I hate Brie Bella. She made my bottom list twice. So let me talk about my first one. This one's a shorter one. This one's quicker to the point, but it was the thing I hated most. The horrible appearance of Twin Magic. So Nikki Bella and Brie Bella are wrestling a match. Well, it's actually just Nikki wrestling a match. And in the midst of it, she gets dumped to the outside and just shit-canned out. And then Brie slides in and does a Twin Magic, cheating on this wrestling show. Two human beings who've never in their life look more different. There's not two people on earth at this point that look less alike than Brebo and Nikki Bella. I think you, Sangai, and you, QT, could pull off twin magic more realistically than Brebo and Nikki Bella at this point. And they do it. And the referee looks at them and allows it to happen. These two women that are in no way similar. Nikki looks nothing like Brie. And then we cut to the backstage where all the ladies are standing around watching it, because that's what they do. They watch the Bellas matches, certainly. And Summer Rae legit says, oh, they're going to get in trouble for that. Like the Twin Magic storyline was a shoot. Well, Hot Summer thought it was a shoot. Cutie, what do you think of this?
Well, it definitely was a shoot. I think most viewers in America were thinking about the term shoot itself and wishing they had a shotgun at the moment. Yes, or a BB gun.
Do you concur, Sign Guy?
I'm going to say they'd prefer a Luger.
Yes.
Lex or...
Well, the thing that they named Lex after.
Oh, okay. The guy from Star Wars.
MacGyver, yes.
Star Wars or Superman. Or
that's
one of those
diametrically
aliens.
Diametrically opposed. That's like two diverse worlds. That looks alike, like the Bellas look alike.
No, not true. They're both star people. It's all about goony little aliens flitting around with humans. So, I mean, it's not that different.
Yeah, it's pretty different. Pretty different.
No. No, it is not. It's about goony aliens flitting around with humans, both of them. That's a fact. You can take it to the bank. You can write a check up for it. You can give it to the bank teller. They'll cash it. Boom.
And then you'll get a letter saying the bounce check is going to cause you nothing but problems.
You can just charge it to Harrison Ford and Christopher Reeves because those guys look identical.
Wow. They're not even the same size whatsoever, but okay. That's a thing I hated about that scene you referenced was
yes.
Brie Bella thought they would look completely identical to each other. If she put 8 strips of tissue into her bikini top, because she pulls those out like, haha, I fooled you, because these 8 strips of tissue was enough to make you think I was my sister, who has completely different hair color, different skin color, and does not look similar to me anymore.
So,
she could have at least put the whole roll in there, but nope, she like, these 8 little strips will be fine.
That's ridiculous. So, QT, who is someone that you disliked on this episode?
Well, I'm going to have to really go with Naomi for the top of the bottom 3. Yes. And I base this on the camping trip. As you remember, they're driving down the road, and her husband says, Naomi, it's hot. He was driving, and Naomi replied, the air broke. Yeah. And, why couldn't she muster up the strength and the courage to say the air conditioning? Yes. That's what I'm solely basing my ranking of Naomi off her reply, the air broke. And she just sat there. She didn't go to the back of the van to look in the toolbox to fix the air conditioner while they were traveling. She didn't even turn around to open up a window.
He raises a great point, Sign Guy.
He really does. Because she just kind of sat there like, well, it's broke, so let's just sit in this 100-degree van here in Florida and die of heat exhaustion.
She brought that same work ethic to when they were stopped and they were at this campsite and the water was overflowing like in a shower and the sinks. And she goes, I'm not fixing that. That's a man's job. Boy, that talk about bad work ethic. I mean, she wouldn't cut it like if she was a member of Black Flag back in the late 70s and early 80s, and she was in that van traveling down the road for 10 hours straight, and she had someone's socks that hadn't been washed for 3 days in her face. Henry Rollins had a pretty good work ethic, and so did Robo the drummer, but not Naomi.
I want to intervene real quick. I'm going to introduce a new game. QT, how many of the singers of Black Flag can you name?
Just two. Yep. There was Greg Ginn to start out the band, Greg Ginn, and then there was, well, Henry for a long time.
Okay. That's, you got, I'll give you two.
Okay.
I'll give you two. All right, game over. No, there was Ron Reyes, there was Doug Cadenza, there was, what's his dick, Keith Morris, there was, that might be it as far as the actual singers go. And Hank, too, so yeah.
Keith Morris of Circle Jerks, yeah, okay.
Absolutely, and Dez of... currently in the Misfits.
All right, here's a quick Black Flag quiz for you. Who was the last bass player to play for Black Flag before they broke up?
Kira.
Yeah, there you go. Kira Rosslerner. Rosslerner. Yep. Yes.
Uh-huh. Okay. So there was our little side trip and sign guy. Who did you hate?
Number one on my least liked, Brie Bella.
Yes, she was the worst. She made it twice on my list.
Yes. Now, Brie Bella this week, she starts off with her sister, and her sister is complaining how, she's not feeling well, and the doctor had checked her. And Brie's kind of like, well, who cares? Let's just go out there, and we got a match. And so they do their twin magic thing, and then they're going to the next town, and Nikki's talking about how she's completely exhausted from the road schedule, and she didn't think it'd be like this, even though she's been in a relationship with Cena for years, and she saw what the demands were of the champions. She somehow didn't pick up on that. And Bree's like, oh, well, we got to go to work, and... we got a job to do. So you're just going to put on a big little smile, which I don't understand what that meant. She said big little smile.
She did.
And Nikki was like, well, I can't get out of the car because she's obviously like got post-traumatic stress syndrome-like symptoms going on here. She had snapped from the road schedule. And Bree's like trying to drag her out. So Brie doesn't get in trouble. She didn't care if Nikki had like a stroke or a heart attack from the stress. She just wanted Brie to not be in trouble. And then she's like, oh, don't worry, you have me here to lean on. When we find out later, she was just wanting the title. So when Nikki went to lean, Brie would take a step back and Nikki would fall flat on her face. That was Brie's plan. Lean on me. And then she'd just step back and then splat right on the concrete would go Nikki. And Brie'd be like, my sister splatted on the concrete. Let me grab her title. And then Brie and Kathy Colas go to yet another site to look for buildings for this bar club that they wanted to start a couple episodes ago. And Bree's upset that Nikki didn't show up at this site and she didn't Skype in when Nikki clearly had told her she'd been on the road for weeks and weeks, hadn't been to her home in Tampa in over 7 weeks. She was physically and emotionally exhausted. And Bree's like, well, she could have Skyped and did this meeting with this real estate agent, and she's all mad that her sister is trying to not completely succumb to exhaustion. And then when Kathy Colas was telling her, oh, well, I went to a therapist, maybe she should get therapy, a great thing. And Bree kind of knows, so like, well, I've never gone to a therapist before because I'm Bree Bella and I'm perfect. And we found out later that Kathy had taken both girls to therapy. They'd all gone through the therapy.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that completely cinched it and put her on my bottom list at number one, and this was the easiest of all six spots because it was tough, tough, tough this week. Nikki was telling John about how she came to hate therapy, and it's because when Kathy took Nikki and Bree with her to family therapy at the time of her divorce from their father, when she was starting to get emotional, the family just started laughing at her and pointing and laughing.
Ugh.
You could see Bree leading the charge. Ha, 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 look at her. She's crying. What's the matter, Nikki? Is it tough here in therapy? And her and JJ would high-five each other, and JJ would goose her.
There's a few things with Bree we got to bring up. God, what a horrible human being. So, as you stated, her sister's struggling with anxiety, and it just makes Bree Bella furious. I think for a few reasons. First off, she doesn't like having to deal with other people's problems. And secondly, it means that other people focus more on that person and less on her. And being the horrible, narcissistic piece of garbage she is, she doesn't like it. So, anxiety, she doesn't want to deal with it. Let's talk about this scene. The scene with all three girls, Bree and Nikki and poor Renee Young, who constantly gets dragged on with these two ninnies. They're just naked in this kitchen yelling, "Oh, Bree! Oh, Bree!" and dancing around. That might be the worst thing I've ever, 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 ever seen. What did you think of that, that scene, QT?
Well, I was feeling slightly nauseous at the time, but I think I had a bad burrito from Taco Loco. Yes.
Same guy?
I don't know.
It might have been a bad taco from Taco Loco.
Yes. I don't know. You bring up a very valid point there. I think that scene is kind of tied with my favorite scene. Remember when they stopped the camper when they decided they need more camping goods, and they're loading up the car, and Naomi's boyfriend says, "Boy, this ain't camping," because they were loading hamburger in there, and he goes, "Toilet paper? We don't need no toilet paper. You just use your hand on a cup."
Yeah, that scene ruled. He told the kids they're going to have to eat bugs for breakfast. That scene was awesome.
Yes, yes, right there he was preparing them for Navy SEAL training, I believe.
Now let's get back to Bree real quick. There's one more scene. And this was the scene that just set, well, beyond the scene you were talking about where we find out she was laughing at her sister in therapy. This scene, they're out in the Napa Valley. They're sampling their wines, getting all Primo. Do it for me, sign guy.
Primo.
And what Primo apparently means is you start talking to strangers about how your sister needs to go to therapy. Great human being. She's a great human being. I'm gonna get trashed on this wine and just tell people I've never met before about how my sister's a lunatic and I think she needs to go to therapy. And then when I go to apologize to her, I'm gonna tell her there's a bee on her and hope she gets stung. And I'll laugh because I'm the world's worst human being. I'm Bree Bella, Bree Mud. And then there's more. The end. Nikki's telling her, "Oh, I went to therapy. It was so great for me. I was learning a lot about myself. I was learning, you know, who I am. I was learning, you know, so much about childhood and it's been a great 2 hours. It was so wonderful." And so Bree says, "Huh, next stop, speech therapy for you."
her sister just poured her heart out about how great therapy had been and all the meaningful things she's learned about herself. So, of course, fucking Brie Bella just starts making fun of her. Again, what a wretched goddamn piece of shit.
So how do you feel, sign guy?
Yeah, I was a little turned off that she would just start talking to a random barkeeper. Like, hey, you, pouring my drink. My sister needs to go to therapy because she's going to be just totally exhausted and get me in trouble, so she needs to go to therapy. What do you think, guy that's never met us before in your life? And he's just shaking the martini, and Renee Young gets him out of it. You know, she jumps in there and saves him, but Bree's kind of like, well, I want the opinion of this guy that I met 5 minutes ago that's poured me four drinks so far. Because he was the most important man in her life at that time.
So, sign guy, who else did you dislike?
Number two on my list, I had Eva Marie.
Okay, I can see that. Tell us about her.
First of all, it's kind of creepy that you can see my list. Second of all,
yeah.
Eva Marie this week, she was consumed with work. That was the whole point of her being on this episode. She was consumed with work. And when she got home, Jonathan Coyle was trying to talk to her. He tried to high-five her. She just blew him off, sat on the couch. And he's like, so are you going to acknowledge the conversation we're having? Which they weren't, because it was one-sided at that point. She didn't say words like, oh, I was answering my emails. And he's like, but remember the agreement we had, because you flipped out when I was so focused on work and I wanted us to succeed and I was trying to push you really hard. Now you're pushing yourself really hard without me and I don't like it. And Eva Marie was like, oh, well, okay, then I'll stop that. And you're right. So let's go to dinner and I'll make it up. So they made plans to go out to, presumably it was dinner, but it may have been lunch based on the later scenes. But she's over an hour late because she was training with Kendrick and she like forgot what time it was. So she gets to the restaurant and then she lies to Jonathan. He's like, oh, was traffic really bad? And she's like, oh yeah. Yeah, it was traffic. When she had just said she was training with Kendrick that whole time and had just forgot about her own husband sitting there at the restaurant wanting to have three or four steaks and a few sides, lied right to his face. And then the deal they had was they weren't going to do anything work-related because apparently Jonathan's still in that manager mode and he's the one in control there. So he's like, okay, you can work now. You can't work here. You can do this. You can't do that. And he's over Carano's head, apparently. But Eva Marie goes along with it. And she's like, oh, okay, no work. We'll leave our phones off. And then the phone immediately rings. He's like, oh, it's Carano. Got to answer that. And Carano giving her this absolutely criminally insane pitch that they want her to not only win the Divas Championship, but to defend it at WrestleMania. And so to prepare, they're going to bring her on the road earlier than planned. And then she's like, eh, I don't know about that. I got a plan to be with Jonathan. You know, she's thinking, well, Jonathan didn't okay this. I don't know if he'll let me go to WrestleMania this year or not. When she's being told by the head of the talent relations, the person that dictates where she goes, which is what it stipulates in her contract, which pays her whatever it is, it's an obscene amount for her. And she's thinking, well, I better not say yes in case Jonathan gets mad at me working on WrestleMania. He might want to go to the Shoney's and get a burger that day. It was just insane. It was completely insane. And then they did this thing where they each held their phone out the window pretending they were going to throw their phone out the window. And when Jonathan slammed on the brakes so Eva Marie would literally drop her phone and shatter it, she goes running to Kendrick's like, oh, Jonathan broke my phone. Technically it was me, but it was Jonathan. And just like burying her husband to her trainer for no reason whatsoever. She never even had to tell him her phone was broken. He didn't know. He didn't care. But she's just burying poor Jonathan. Like, let me tell you why Jonathan's horrible. And he did this. And Kendrick's just sitting there like, man, if the checks weren't so good, I wouldn't even be on this show.
QT, how did you feel about Eva Marie?
Well, I, you know, Eva attended that San Andreas premiere with a rock. And I kind of like that because she had a nice dress on and I think she took a bath. So she gives a thumbs up there. However, I think the bartender, I'm osculating about whether I like this guy or I don't like this guy. So for the first time ever on Total Dudes, he is in an undecided mode. He gets no man's land between the top three likes and the bottom three dislikes. For one part, he did not rely on his bartender training that they teach all bartenders. When you're in a spot where two sisters are telling you about their problems, you should go into your survival mode and always rely on wine critiques. For instance, those sisters were drinking from huge gallon glasses, and he should have been constantly refilling them. Like, he could have said, well, I think you'll like this 2008 Napa Valley Merlot. Its use of positive and negative airspace gives it an air of solemnity, kind of like a squatting Stonehenge. See, he could have memorized these twins, which probably doesn't take much effort, with wine critiques. See? Or he could have said, you might like this Mad Dog 2020. It swaggers to a full-bodied finish.
What flavor?
Oh, probably plum. Plum Mad Dog, yes.
Yeah. I wrote a song once, and it was called A Bottle of Mad Dog Bought at a Gas Station on Christmas Eve, and it was based on a true story.
Wow. I guess the Grinch came that year, yes.
Yeah, it was a song about horrid depression and alcoholism and watching the United Way burn to the ground. So it was a pretty pretty good song.
Oh, okay. Well, so I tell you, so that bartender, no man's land, didn't rely on his training that he obviously kind of stepped through in bartender training. And I don't know. I think Daniel Bryan gets one of my top three likes because, as you remember, he was going through a clothing review with Brie, and they were deciding what clothes to
toss out. Wait, that was last week. That was last week.
Oh, it was. Yeah, that's right. I tuned in at 8:20, and I saw the previous show. But I'm going to go ahead and submit that anyway. Yes.
Hold on. Sign guy, what is happening?
I don't know, but the 08 was swill. That was a horrible year for Merlot out of Napa Valley. You won an 07.
Oh, okay.
Or an 09 if you're going with that sweet Mad Dog. Nice 09, the blue kind, whatever flavor that is. Let's talk about my other most hated person. This would be Danny Garcia. So this lady is Eva Marie's manager, and she's one of the worst people I've ever seen. If we keep up this pace, I mean, it's intense. This horrible lady and her bizarre corporate side talk. So it feels good. Let's toast to all red global domination. With her horrible gruff voice sounding just like one of Marge Simpson's sisters. Yuck. How did you feel about Danny Garcia, sign guy?
She was my number three. Now,
yes, we agree.
Now, I feel most sorry for The Rock because he was married to this broad for years.
And oh, really?
Yes. And
Whoa. No. No.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, she was
okay, go on.
The Rock's wife for many years, mother of his child, and she became The Rock's manager because she used to manage him before the divorce, so she retained managership. But somehow or another, she became Eva Marie's manager. We have to go back and confirm that's who they were talking about when Jonathan was going to town at the Mongolian Steakhouse, because they mentioned a name. I didn't catch it was Danny Garcia at the time. We're going to have to verify that. But she's got Danny Garcia, and Danny Garcia is just pumping this girl up, you know, like she's the second coming of The Rock combined with Hulk Hogan with a sprinkle of Stone Cold Steve Austin. That's how huge she will be.
Mm-hmm.
Danny Garcia probably never saw a minute of Eva Marie, probably only knew her Wikipedia bio and had no clue what her talent was, wasn't getting progress reports from Kendrick or from the office. She just knew, well, the WWE likes her look, so she must be a huge star in the making. I'll make millions of dollars. She'll be in movies and TV shows and have her own line of clothing and her own line of hair extensions. Not likely to happen, any of that.
And, no, not at all.
And Danny Garcia is just pumping this kid up like, well, it's a sure thing, you know. And then Mark Carano got in on it. He's like, hey, Danny, I'm going to call her later and tell her she's going to defend the title at WrestleMania. And Danny Garcia was probably laughing loud and said, Mark, come on, that's a little much, isn't it? And Carano's like, no, it'd be great, because this broad causes me nothing but grief. And then he did it, and Danny's like, did you do it? And Mark's like, I sure did. And Danny's like, did you really? And he's like, I sure did. She's like, she bought it? And Carano's like, come on, you think she wouldn't buy it? She's not very bright. Danny's like, oh, yeah, you're right. I can't believe the kid bought this. She's like, should we really be filling her head with all this false hope that when it doesn't happen, it'll crush her and make her depressed? And Mark's like, yeah, screw it. It's what I kind of do for a living. Danny's like, all right. Like, I got my millions. I'd get alimony from The Rock. So, you know, Danny Garcia just not too kind to this poor Eva Marie. She's filling her head with hope after hope that she didn't really know would come true. And then she's like, oh, yeah, The Rock wants you to go on the red carpet with San Andreas as his date. I'm guessing The Rock had no clue who Eva Marie was, and they just sent a diva. He's like, yo, can I get a diva to be on the red carpet with me? Because this movie's not going to do very well. You might as well send me a diva. You don't need an A-lister for this. And they're like, sure, how about? And he's like, I don't care, just anyone. And Eva Marie showed up. He's like, hi, I'm Eva Marie. They sent me here to be on the red carpet with you. And he's like, okay, sure. What's your name again? She's like, Eva Marie. And he's like, all right, Ava, let's just go up here and take a few pictures. And
All red carpet, everything.
Yes, and clearly The Rock wasn't enthused with this. And if I might digress, during Raw, they kept advertising, The Rock appears on Total Divas this week. The Rock appearing on Total Divas. He was not actually on the show, except a few clips from the red carpet that they showed, few pictures. He had no interaction with them, didn't say a word. He wasn't really in the episode, but yet they pumped it up like he was going to do scene after scene after scene till Natty, know your role and don't drive into a wall. But he didn't do anything like that. He was just shown on the red carpet with his arm around Eva Marie, and then he was just gone, never to be mentioned again.
I think the term you're looking for, sign guy, is eye candy. Yes.
Well, yeah. Yeah, that's what he was after. He didn't care that it was Eva Marie or Brie Bella or whoever they sent out there. He just wanted a broad. They sent him one. Eva Marie acted like it was like this like passing of the torch, Rock to Eva Marie, and the Rock was like specifically requesting her, and that wasn't how I gathered things whatsoever at all.
All right, global domination. All right, let's move on to who we like. Friend Guy, did you like anybody in this episode?
Yeah, see, the thing with this episode, with the exception of Brie Bella, I thought everyone in it had good and bad qualities, so it
took me
a long time. I struggle mightily. I erased and wrote. But my number three this week, Sean McCrae.
Yes. Do tell.
Well, Sean McCrae, of course, Naomi's father, and she wanted to bring him along because he would like to go camping. Now, Sean McCrae, being the father he is, he doesn't like to cause waves. He just likes to get along with everyone. As you've heard him say on this very show when he was our guest, you know, he just likes to get along with everybody, doesn't dislike anyone. He doesn't like camping, you could tell. He obviously hates camping, but since it was so important to his daughter, he went along with it. He went camping. And he having to explain what camping supplies they needed. But she was like, we need charcoal lighter for a charcoal grill? And he's like, yeah, charcoal lighter. That's what we need. And so he gets them their charcoal lighter, and he's helping them with supplies that they actually need. And they get there, and the place that Naomi picked to go camping, completely infested with mosquitoes. They're all getting just massively bit by mosquitoes. So he goes along with it, just sticks out his arms as his daughter douses him in mosquito repellent, just like a whole bottle just doused on this man. He had to smell the stench of the mosquito repellent the rest of his camping trip, and he probably just hated his life at that point. But he didn't say anything. He just went along with it, trying to keep his daughter happy. And then when John and Naomi got in this big argument, because Naomi way overreacted to John, it was Sean McCrae who helped John by pointing out, you done pissed off my girl, she's hot. And he just walked away, because he didn't want any more trouble than that. Didn't want to get into a fight. He just pointed it out, walked away. Pointed it out, walked away. Pointed it out, walked away.
This is excellent stuff. QT, you already said you liked Daniel Bryan for what he did last week. But whom else did you like this week?
Yes, and I apologize for that. And for the first time on Total Dudes history, I'm going to submit a program that wasn't even supposed to be reviewed. Time was blurring last night. But you got to admit that Daniel Bryan reviewing clothes with a lady. That makes about it. It reminds me of that Greek mythology about that guy rolling a boulder up a hill. Right when he's about to get to the top, he slips and the boulder rolls back down. I submit to you, isn't that kind of like reviewing clothes to a woman, throwing out the excess clothes that you don't need? She's only going to break out her credit card and spend more. Yes.
Indeed. I'm going to put, as my most liked, real quick, Jonathan Coyle eating. Now, this fella, he greets his wife when she walks into the house by fist bumping her. That's who Jonathan Coyle is. He says, hey, my boo's back, fist bump. And then he immediately starts telling his wife how he doesn't want her to work so they can go get steaks. Yes, Jonathan Coyle eating is the only thing we need to bring the world together. And then they show up in the restaurant, and what's happening? Jonathan Coyle just mounding down some steaks. He's just killing this big-ass steak. And then his wife tries to talk to him about her dumb-ass wrestling gear. He's like, hey, I'm trying to eat a big-ass steak. Why you gotta ruin it talking about your dumb-ass wrestling gear? I'm here to eat steak. All right?
fist bump. Let's eat more steak. And then, next scene, we see a Jonathan Quayle. He's just standing there eating an enormous plate of bacon with what appears to be a nice bottle of room temperature water. That's Jonathan Quayle, just eating steaks, eating bacon, just a giant plate of bacon, and a bottle of room temperature water. That's my kind of guy. Sign guy,
wow.
What do you think?
I had him at number two for pretty much the exact thing you said.
Yes.
And when Eva Marie blew him off when she first got to the house, he just started drinking coffee. Just started drinking coffee. He's like, oh, didn't get a fist bump, but I got coffee.
That's what he does. What he does. So, fine guy, who else did you like?
Well, my number one this week was Renee Young.
Oh. Okay. Tell us.
Well, Renee Young, she shows up at this Napa Valley retreat, and Bree's like, oh, it's like this book. And then Renee Young, like, immediately knows the book, gives her the title of the book, because she knew Bree would never get it. So she's like, boom, here's the title of the book. This trip's going to be just like that. And then she just strips down to a bikini, starts dancing, just at random, just for no reason. She's like, well, I'm Renee Young. I'm going to strip down and dance. And she did. She really did. And then when she goes to the bar with them and they're wine tasting, she knew that there was trouble. She knew that, hey, I don't think Bree should have just told this barkeeper that her sister needed therapy, so I'm just going to sit here, pretend like I'm not with them at all. I'll just keep drinking my wine.
Poor Renee. I feel bad for her, but, man, she was a part of that Bree scene with them dancing, and it was enough to turn me off for life, slang guy.
It might have been the greatest scene I ever saw.
It was not. It was definitely not.
It might have been Renee Young
QT.
Dancing in the bikini.
Oh, but she was there with Bree and Nikki, and they were yelling that horrible thing.
She was really just there for the wine tasting, let's face it.
QT, who else did you like? Anybody?
I'm going to say my bottom three of the top likes, that would be ranked number three of likes, would be John Cena. As you recall, John Cena met Nicole at an espresso shop. And I'm not sure if it was the exhaustion, but John Cena's eyes seemed to be glazed, especially when Nicole was talking about the therapy. It was like you could see the wheels turning in John Cena, and he was thinking, why can't this espresso come with a side order of strychnine? Yes.
Now, that scene made me absolutely fucking furious, and I'll explain why. While John Cena, a.k.a., you know, the top guy in the WWE, the top, you know, make-a-wish person, you know, enormously famous person, star, one of the stars of Trainwreck, an enormously successful movie, is sitting there. He's with his girlfriend, also an enormous star, the WWE Divas Champion, for going to be the longest reigning Divas Champion in history. And they are having this conversation in front of at least two cameras, at least who knows how many lights and directors and all these people. And you look right behind them, and then there's these two idiots sitting there, not even glancing at them ever. And it made me furious to see these two fake dipshits sitting behind them who aren't just gawked, slack-jawed, staring as this thing is being filmed. It was the most unrealistic thing ever on this show.
Well, I think you would agree, Rex, that John Cena kind of had that look like Al Bundy being on the couch with Peg. The only thing that John Cena didn't have was his hand in his pants. Yes.
What do you think of that, sign guy?
Well, to start with Cena, the very start of the episode, he and Nikki are in this limousine, and she wants to do the selfie, but her arm's not long enough, so John Cena's like, oh, okay, oh, long arm me, takes the selfie. She posts it to Instagram because he told her that was all right if she wanted to do that. Second she posts it to Instagram, she's like, does my face look fat?
Yes, that was bizarre.
What?
That scene was bizarre.
It was, and he just instantly, he doesn't know what to do or say. He's mm-hmm. like, what just happened here? He's incredulous. He has no answer. Mm-hmm. So he just starts pounding champagne. That's his answer, just pound champagne. And then when he meets up with her later at this restaurant, and they're pounding wine, and she's telling him about the therapy, you know, why she hated therapy, and she didn't want to go through that, and he's like, well, you know, you might need someone to talk to, you might need to take some time off, and this and that, and once again, being the voice of logical reasoning of a psychologically disturbed person was John Cena, and, you know, he just wants the wine. Nikki's like, oh, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? And he's just like, I think I want some more wine. He's just there for the wine.
Sign guy, was there anyone else you liked on this episode, or did we go through them?
That was my three.
All right, QT, anyone else you liked, or did we get through yours?
Well, my final submission, as you recall, yeah. On my first appearance of Total Dudes, my top choice was a coffee urn. My top choice this time goes to John Cena's espresso coffee cup, which should have been filled with strychnine. Yes.
Well, that's a good choice. I have to agree with you. Excellent, excellent coffee.
Well, thank you. Yes.
Mug. Have you ever heard the song Coffee Mug by the Descendants?
No, I haven't. Is that my homework assignment? Is Rex
yes.
Blueberry Stump Muffin giving me a homework assignment?
Yes, it is the song Coffee Mug by the Descendants. It starts off mug, 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 and then it goes into the song.
Oh,
they
okay.
Don't count off, they don't count off 1, 2, 3, 4. They count off mug, mug, mug.
Ooh, very nice. So, okay, I will complete that homework assignment and give you a critique. Yes. Wow, that's, okay.
So, Sign Guy QD, what do you guys got going on? Let's wrap this garbage up.
Well, I'd like to also point out, Natalya did one of the most bizarre things she's done. It's not the most bizarre, but it's got to be in the top five. Now,
okay.
Did you happen to catch it?
She did that thing with her butt, and it hurt her butt, and then she said it hurt her butt. So is
yes.
that what you're referencing?
Yes. How bizarre was that? She's like, like, I'm not going to stop till you tell me to. And she did this, like, hip check on Naomi. He's like, hurt my arse. And she just walks away with this glazed over look like, it never occurred to her that that would hurt, but it did. And so she just walks away just in this trance, and we never see her again the entire episode.
Was
what was that?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what it was. It was kind of like that opening segment where it's just like, what was that? And then there's no explanation for it. It's just what it is, and then they just move along. I really think they're just giving up, the people making the show. Hey, speaking of giving up, it sounds like you guys have. So what do you got going on?
Actually, I have to drive about 3 hours tonight to go to Portland to do some contract work. But I'd like to inform Rex that midway through my trip at the 100-mile mark, I'll probably revisit the scene where Bree says, I have such an amazing husband. I'm glad he went through my closet to get rid of less conservative clothes. And then Daniel Bryan said something like, "Well, with that, I'm going to let you finish up while I take a number two."
Sounds like a good way to spend your night.
And don't forget
those at the coffee mug as well.
Boy, I tell you, that scene's going to make the I-5 rest stop coffee go down a little bit easier. Sign Guy can relate to that. Yes.
Sometimes it's hard to get it down.
I hear
That's what she said. So what do you guys got going on, Sign Guy? What's the plans?
Well, Friday, QT and I will have on Sign Guy's wrestling show Dale Pierce, the manager extraordinaire. He managed in Arizona. He used to manage until recently near you in Ohio. Just very recently, he moved up here to Washington, where he's now managing Alpha Sigma Alpha, apparently.
Okay.
And then on Sunday, we have all second generation wrestlers. All the guests will be coming on to talk about their feelings on being second generation. We have JKO from up in your neck of the woods.
Yes.
We have Sean Kemp, also from your neck of the woods.
Yes.
We have Leland Race from Missouri, son of Harley Race. We have a tentative maybe from DJ Pringle, son of Percy Pringle III. And we have one of QT's favorite human beings, Paul Moonshine, who is a reverse second generation.
You mean he's the dad?
He is the dad who followed his son into the business.
Oh, I got you. Kind of like Papa Briscoe, if you will.
Yes, or a John Cena Sr.
Yes. Excellent.
And then
sounds
I got
like
a beeline it down to Portland.
Oh, what are you doing there?
I'm going to count a few pinfalls, maybe check for a few submissions.
Well, you know, don't allow two women that don't look anything alike to pull a twin magic on you.
I will know what happened if one of them pulls out 8 strips of tissue from her bikini top. Because the ref was like, "That looks like Nikki." And then Bree's like, "What about these 8 strips of tissue?" And he's like, "That's not Nikki at all. That was just 8 strips of tissue making her hair a different color and her skin much lighter."
Well, good. I'm glad you've learned the lesson. I think I'll be going to the IWA Mid-South show Friday night, so I'll report how that was.
Will Reed Bentley be there?
Reed Bentley will assuredly be there. I will tell him hello. So will Nick Manawa, both of them.
Nick Manawa, new father.
He will be there with his new child. He's probably going to put in a death match.
Wouldn't shock me. The kid will probably get like a nickel.
Two hot dogs, the Mountain Dew. Here you go, baby Manawa. And then, you know, Saturday, Sunday, we'll be at the big horror movie convention that I think for our current NXT superstar Rhino will be at. So I'll probably talk to Rhino. Anything
ask
you want me to
ask him? In the midnight hour, he yells gore, gore, gore.
I will ask him. I'm quite certain he does. All right. Well, I think that's it, fellas. Till next time, mug, total dudes with us. Bye.
Yes. Yes. Just welcome back, Otters.
Welcome to Total Dudes with Sign Guy and Rex. It's time.
Thank you.